There is a concept in psychology that casino floors illustrate with depressing regularity, the Dunning-Kruger effect. At its core, it describes the tendency for people with limited knowledge or experience in a given area to overestimate their own competence, and for that overconfidence to be most visible when the stakes are highest. In most professional settings, this plays out quietly in meeting rooms and performance reviews. In a casino pit, it plays out in real time, in front of a full shift with revenue on the line. Promotions can happen fast in the casino industry if the floor is short of supervisors, and a dealer who shows initiative and handles themselves well can find themselves behind the pit desk faster than their actual experience justifies. This is not always a problem. Plenty of people rise quickly and grow into the role effectively. But when the promotion comes too early and the new supervisor has not yet accumulated the floor time that builds real judgment, the gaps tend to show up in exactly the moments that matter most. What floor time actually teaches you. The difference between a supervisor who came up through the ranks at a measured pace and one who was promoted quickly is not always visible in quiet periods. Both can read a schedule, handle routine table changes, and communicate the basics of procedure. The gap opens under pressure and it opens fast. A dealer who has spent years at the tables develops something that cannot be acquired by observation alone, an instinctive understanding of dealer psychology. They know what it feels like to handle a difficult guest for an extended period without relief. They know the particular exhaustion of a long shoe on a slow night. They have felt how it lands when a supervisor makes a remark at the wrong moment, and they know the difference between a dealer who is struggling with the game and a dealer who is struggling with something the supervisor caused. They have been on the receiving end of good management and poor management, and that experience gives them a reference point for their own conduct that no training course can replicate. Beyond psychology, extended floor time means exposure to an enormous range of situations: disputes, irregularities, difficult guests, unusual betting patterns, procedural edge cases. A supervisor who has seen most of these situations before has responses that come from experience. A supervisor who has not seen them arrives at each one without that foundation and has to construct a response in real time, in front of the team, under pressure. Sometimes that goes well, often it does not. The Dunning-Kruger problem in the pit. The challenge with the Dunning-Kruger effect is that the people most affected by it are also the least equipped to recognize it in themselves. A supervisor who is promoted quickly and has not yet encountered the limits of their knowledge does not know what they do not know. Their confidence is real. It is just not calibrated to reality. Because they have not yet had the experiences that would update that calibration, they tend to fill the gap with projection. A certainty about how things should be done that is based more on the idea of authority than on the weight of experience behind it. This is different from arrogance, and the distinction matters. An inexperienced supervisor who is struggling is not necessarily arrogant. They may simply be in a position they are not yet ready for, doing their best with the tools available. The arrogant supervisor is a different animal. They know, on some level, that the ground beneath them is less solid than it appears, and the aggression or dismissiveness is a defense mechanism. Everything becomes someone else's fault. Accountability flows downward. Mistakes are attributed to the dealer, to the guest, to the circumstances, anywhere but to the person at the top of the immediate hierarchy. The tell is consistent once you know what to look for. When something goes wrong at the tables, and the supervisor's first move is to find someone to blame rather than resolve the situation, you are probably watching the second kind of person. The experienced supervisor who made a call that did not work out will own it, correct it, and move forward. The arrogant one will make sure everyone knows it was not their fault, and the pit will feel the weight of that for the rest of the shift. What stress does to a pit, here is where the practical damage becomes visible. A supervisor who is out of their depth under pressure does not just perform poorly, they radiate. Stress is contagious in an enclosed professional environment, and the pit is one of the most enclosed there is. When the person responsible for the floor is visibly anxious or destabilized by a situation they cannot control, that energy moves through the room. Dealers feel it. The game pace changes. Guests pick up on the atmosphere even without being able to say what has shifted. Slower game pace means fewer hands per hour. Fewer hands per hour means less theoretical win. The mathematical edge the casino holds is being eroded by management-induced friction, not by bad luck. This is a line many in senior positions understand intellectually but underestimate in practice. The mood of a pit has a measurable effect on its revenue, and the mood of a pit is largely determined by the quality of the supervision. Break lists and rotation schedules are a specific area where supervisory inexperience makes itself felt. Getting the rotations right, keeping dealers fresh, distributing the more demanding tables fairly, timing breaks so the floor maintains its pace, requires a feel for the room that develops over time. A supervisor who cannot balance this creates a team that is either overtired, resentful, or both. None of those states produce good casino results. The dealer's perspective, and what some do about it. Having watched this play out from every position on the floor, as a dealer, as a supervisor, and as a manager, one pattern stands out. Most dealers, when they see a supervisor struggling, extend more goodwill than the supervisor probably realizes. The experienced ones on the team often quietly absorb some of the pressure. They manage their own tables more self-sufficiently to reduce the load. They offer clarity to newer colleagues and keep the atmosphere at the table level from reflecting what is happening at the pit desk. It is not their job, but they do it anyway because the alternative is a shift that is unpleasant for everyone. This goodwill is not infinite. It is also not equally extended to the struggling supervisor and the arrogant one. A supervisor who is clearly finding their feet, who acknowledges that and shows real effort, tends to receive patience from the team around them. A supervisor who projects confidence they have not earned, who reaches for blame when things go wrong, and who makes the floor harder to work on than it needs to be, that supervisor will find the patience has limits, and that the experienced dealers around them have more than one way to make their view of the situation known. What good actually looks like? The most effective supervisors on any floor share a few common qualities, and none of them have to do with how quickly they were promoted. They are calm under pressure, and the calm comes from experience rather than performance. They make decisions and stand behind them, without needing to distribute the blame if the decision turns out to be wrong. They know their dealers well enough to read the room accurately, and they manage the floor's energy as deliberately as they manage its procedures. They also know what they do not yet know, and they are not threatened by that. A supervisor who can say, even internally, that they have not seen this exact situation before, and therefore take a moment to think rather than react, is showing exactly the kind of judgment that experience is supposed to produce. The ones who cannot admit the limit, who reach for authority as a substitute for knowledge, are the ones who make the pit heavier for everyone in it. The industry promotes quickly by necessity. That will not change. But the pace of promotion does not have to determine the quality of what follows it. The gap between experience and role can be closed over time, provided the person in the role is honest enough with themselves to keep closing it, rather than defending the gap with noise. The easiest supervisors to work for are the ones who remember what it was like to be a dealer. The hardest ones to work for are the ones who have already forgotten.